Welcome to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison.
I'm Molly, a former skeptic turned full-time energy healer and teacher.
And I'm Madison, a born and raised witch running my family's crystal shop.
And we're here to explore all things woo through the lens of both science and spirituality so that you can find the moments of magic in your everyday life and create an intentional spiritual practice.
So if that's what you're into, find a cozy spot, take a deep breath, and let's demystify some magic.
Howdy doody.
Howdy doody, friends.
So excited to be here with you all.
So thrilled. Living our best lives.
Living our best lives. It's been almost a year and we still don't know how to start these episodes off. So we're just going to kick right into it.
Perfect. Every day when we press record, it's as if all rational thought leaves my body. I have no idea how to even form a sentence. Maybe by year two.
Maybe.
Maybe that'll be our goal for the second year of Demystify Magic. Settle on an opener.
So we are coming up on 1 year of Demystify Magic, which is, dare I say, Bonktown.
Bonktown, USA. Population.
Bonktown.
All of us.
It's been an amazing, incredible year of just like fun and community, and we really want to celebrate it. So drumroll, please. We're doing a party.
Yay. Happy birthday, Demystify Magic.
Happy birthday, Demystify Magic. So if you are in the St. Pete area of Florida, we are doing a cute little party on May 19th at this little place called Spellcrafter. Maybe you've heard of it.
I don't know. It's just this like new place. We thought it might be a cute place to check out. We've never been before.
So you can come hang out with us. We're going to do on May 19th, which is a Sunday, we're going to do a cute little meet and greet in the store from 3 to 5 p.m. If you want to come hang out, say hi, maybe buy some bones or candles if you want to, or just say hi, give us a high five, tell us your favorite episode. And then if you want to come to a special private recording of a year ahead reading and live meditation, we are going to be doing that for 25 lucky guests at 5:15 that evening at Spellcrafter. So we will leave all of the details and the ticket information down below. Meet and greet is totally free. Come hang out, come say hi. If you want to join the event, hop on those tickets fast because there are only 25 of them available.
We should get a birthday cake.
Of course we should.
Okay, glad that's decided.
and we need a spread from chicken salad chick.
We might just. I'll have to reach out. I'm so excited. Mostly I'm excited that this podcast has given us another opportunity for it to be a business trip for you to come hang out with me. We're just really grateful and excited and want to hang out and share that gratitude because none of this would be possible without you guys. We love you and we appreciate you and we can't wait to celebrate with you.
Yay. See you there.
All right. On with the episode.
I am excited about this episode because we kind of teased it on one of our last episodes. I feel like we've been teasing a lot of episodes in our episodes. And so I can't remember which episode, but we talked a little bit about, it was our piss poor mood episode. Mm-hmm. We talked about how we know when we're going to be in a piss poor mood because our energy cycles, we have tracked it and you all wanted to hear more. So we're going to dive into that today.
But first, we must address the elephant in the room.
We must, because we are recording this on Monday, April 22nd, which means our Lord and Savior Taylor Swift has dropped not one, but two albums in the last week. And so, because you know our magic moments will be the Tortured Poets Department anthology, we figured today Madison and I would share our top five songs from the double album. I don't know what yours are. You don't know what mine are. So this is going to be interesting to see if there's any similarities.
I know. I can't wait. We like very intentionally discussed only minimally. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. And immediately before I start speaking, I'm like, do I want to change something?
No. Go. Give me 5-1. Go 5-1.
5-1. Okay. Number five. Do we want to take turns? Like say our fifth and then our fourth and then our third?
No, I want to hear all five of yours and then all five of mine.
Okay. Fine. Number five, I have Chloe or Sam or Sophia or Marcus.
Good one.
Four, I have But Daddy, I Love Him.
Mm-hmm.
3, Who's Afraid of Little Old Me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
2, So Long London.
Mm-hmm.
And my number one is Down Bad.
Oh my God. We only have one in common on our top 5.
Really? This is the opposite of what I anticipated.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of yours were ones that are like in my top 10 for sure, mm-hmm. but just didn't make the cut. So how did you decide your top 5? Did you go lyrically? Did you go based on vibes?
So I, with music, and I think this is like a neurospicy thing. So let me know if you have a squiggly brain and you also are this way. I will loop on one lyric.
Yes.
In a yes. song. And so mm-hmm. I went based on what was looping in my head.
Okay.
So like with But Daddy, I Love Him, the song is categorically pretty corny, but I can't stop giggling to myself singing in the car. I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your faces. I think it's fucking hilarious.
So good.
And it's so silly. And so I've been listening to it over and over to hear that part and giggle and then hear mm-hmm. it again and giggle. And same with So Long London, less silly, less funny. But it like is very pleasing to me in my brain when she says, and I'm pissed off I gave you all of that youth for free.
Mm-hmm.
The way she says it like loops in my brain. And so I chose that way of like, what am I latching onto?
Okay. I went based on, I listened to the album. And every time I've listened through, I've added more to my favorites. Mm-hmm. And so I went based on which ones I added to my favorites. And then based on those, which ones were stuck in my head.
Okay.
So it's kind of like a vibes, but like a melody mm-hmm. stuck in my head. So number 5, How Did It End?
Okay.
Number 4, I Can Fix Him. No, Really, I Can.
Okay. That was almost on my...
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That one was neck and neck with But Daddy, I Love Him.
Uh-huh.
Number 3, Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bop. It's stuck in my head.
It's so good.
Number 2, Guilty as Sin.
Uh-huh.
And number 1, same as you, Down Bad.
Something about that beat, I am like, inject it straight into my veins.
I know. I just want to go. It makes me want to go to the gym.
Uh-huh. I was truly listening to it in the gym as she goes crying in the gym. And I'm like, she is so me for real.
Relatable, like, queen.
Relatable. I think that's what I've been thinking a lot about what it is that I like about Taylor Swift's music with this album, because there is a lot of it, again, that is categorically corny. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think that that is really part of the appeal for me. I've seen a lot of critique that the album is like unedited, that it needs some editing.
Mm.
And I agree. But also that is why I like it so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, she's saying what we're all thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having his baby. No, I'm not. But you should see your faces. That's my new line for when people ask me when I'm going to start having kids.
Yeah. That's a good one. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. What I really like about this album is, I think for the first time, I'm really appreciating Taylor's vocal qualities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've always known that she could sing, but I just love the range that is in this album. Like, there's somewhere she goes real, real low, mm-hmm. and we don't always hear that from her. And then there's like the ones that are really stripped down, where it's just like her vocals really take the center stage. I don't know if I've ever appreciated Taylor Swift in that way. We have very different relationships with Taylor Swift. I notoriously used to just bop to 22 when I was in college,
uh-huh.
and didn't think about Taylor Swift outside of that until probably Reputation or 1989, whichever one came first. Don't mm-hmm. hate me. I don't remember. And then, and so I never got into like her country phase. I'm still not that into it. I am more in love with Taylor Swift for the lore. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I love the lore of Taylor Swift more than I actually love the music. But somehow, she's always in my top 3 on Spotify at mm-hmm. the end of the year. So I must like her music too.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. It's incredible to me. I'm like, I don't listen to Taylor Swift that much. And Spotify's like, yes, you do. Yes, mm-hmm. you do.
I had a friend post something the other day, like when the album came out. And she was basically like, I feel pretty indifferent about Taylor Swift, but I'm so interested in how she elicits such intense feelings across the board. And I responded and I was like, it's literally because she's a witch.
She's a witch. She's 100%.
I will die on this hill. There is some sort of spell work going on in that music. Mm. I follow some astrologers who will talk about the events that go on, like, in alignment with her releases and, like, what's going on in her life. And I just cannot believe that there's a world in which she's not using astrology.
Yeah.
It, at the very least.
Oh, yeah.
Has an astrologer on staff.
Oh, for sure.
If we're going with my true belief system, like, there is ritual work going into the phenomenon that is Taylor Swift as a brand.
Yeah, there has to be. There has to be. I mean, she uses color magic. She uses numerology.
And the way that she creates, like, everyone, regardless of, not everyone, but so many people are incensed by her with, like, the full range of the human emotion.
Yeah.
In a way that is so fascinating to watch. Even songs that I think are bad that she has written, I am still in some way, like, listening to and singing along to, and somehow, like, how do I know every word to the song that I don't think is very good?
Yeah. Yeah.
She has bespelled the world populace.
When do you think it started? When do you think she started spelling?
I don't know. I think it really came to the forefront in folklore. That's when I, like, came back. So I am originally from North Carolina. So I was big in the Taylor Swift country music emergence. And then she left country music. I entered my I'm not like other girls phase.
Sure.
And then came back during folklore. And seeing, like, even in the way that it is in the concert, like, you see people talk about how she's doing witchcraft on stage, but it's, like, with the negative connotation. Like, she's up there. She's doing Satanist worship on stage, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I think that it really entered the forefront of how she operates with folklore. Like, I think she embraced that side in the pandemic, like I see a lot of people did.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. Let us know your top five from the Tortured Poets Department. Send us a DM. Let us know what you have in common with us. I feel like I was full on ready to just do a whole episode about how Taylor Swift is a witch.
Honestly.
Honestly.
Maybe. One day.
Maybe. Let us know if you want to see it. But we are here to talk about energy cycles. How to figure out your energy cycle and then how to make the most of it.
I'm excited because this is something that we really have, like, implemented into our lives in a way. I would say this is, like, one of the larger parts of my personal spiritual practice.
Yeah.
Is working with my energy cycle. And we're going to use the lunar cycle as an example of an easy way to, like, intro into this. This is something that I recommend a lot to people who are looking to create rituals to go along with the full moon and the new moon.
Yeah.
And especially if, like, what you see online or what you hear people talk about doesn't super jive with you or doesn't feel authentic, it could be because your energy cycle isn't jiving with the energy along with those rituals that you see people talking about online. Like, you know, the common consensus for a lot of people is that you manifest under the new moon and release under the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
That does not work for everybody. So if you fall into that boat, we're going to use the lunar cycle as a good example of how to work with your energy cycle.
Yeah. I tend to look at my energy cycle from, like, four, like, if you had four circles getting smaller around each other. It's like we have the seasonal cycle that we talk about in our equinox and our solstice episodes, where it's like there's kind of a theme to the energy of the season. And then there's the lunar cycle. And then there's, like, your weekly cycle. And then there's, like, your daily cycle. So there's, like, the more you get to know the ebbs and flows in each of those cycles, the more you can work with it. So for the lunar cycle, it's like there are times in that month that you have more energy. And then there's times where you feel like you're in a piss poor mood. And then there's times in between. There's times where you feel really productive, and there's times where you feel really like you just want to be a potato. And a lot of us, we don't recognize that that's a cycle. And so we almost, like, work against our natural energy. Like, we try to do more things when we feel like a potato, and we don't have as much to do when we have a lot of energy. So one of the best things that you can do to start to figure this out is just start to track how you're feeling. And you could do this through, you know, through 3 months. You could do this through the entire year and just keep an eye on it. That tends to be what I do because I have such drastic changes through the seasons that by the time I track 3 months, it's like, well, let's start again. Mm-hmm. So I'm always kind of like fine tuning and working with, you know, the energy around. But start to track over the lunar cycle when you have energy, when you feel less energized, when you feel motivated, when you feel less motivated, when you're sleeping well, when you're sleeping like crap. Kind of like, I kind of see it as like when I'm operating at my best self versus when I'm kind of struggling. And then when I feel like a superhero. Those are like the three levels that I have. And so I know like, okay, it's a full moon this week. I am going to be somewhere between less than my best self and my best self, depending on like the weather and the day of the week. Uh-huh. And then next week, I'm going to be operating more of like superhero status. So I'm going to be, you know, trying to make this week a little bit easier on myself and pushing some of the things that I don't have the energy for to next week when I know I'll have more energy.
Yeah, I like to give 3 months as like a baseline. Because that's an easy way to, one, eliminate external factors. You know, like if there's an outlier of I had a really shitty day at work.
Yeah.
That maybe doesn't have as much to do with the moon and maybe has to do with life. But also it's a short enough time frame that you can go back and read through your past journaling without it being too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. In a perfect world, I would journal this way for the rest of my life. And find all of my patterns throughout the years and the seasons and all the other cycles of the world and my life. That's my goal. But I know 3 months-ish, I can at least be consistent enough to see patterns without becoming overwhelmed by information. And also, if you already have a journaling routine, one, I want to be you. I want to be like you. I am aspiring to be you every day. But two, this is something that's really easy to implement because you can literally just write at the top of your page what phase the moon is in. Or mm-hmm. if you have like a habit tracker, or if you do like bullet journaling, again, I want to be you so bad. How did you get your handwriting to look so nice? I have a lot of questions, slide into my DMs. But also, it's super easy to fit it into something that you're already doing if journaling is already a part of your life. And if journaling is something that you want to do because you know it's good for your mental health, this is a really great way to make it witchy if that is something that will propel you forward.
I'm going to tell you, I hate journaling. So this is what I do to track my energy is I live and die by my Google Calendar. It has, I'm a time blocker. So I have like 4 different Google calendars that all sync up. They're color coordinated. So I have like a time blocking calendar and I have an appointments calendar and I have like a things that have to get done calendar and blah, blah, blah. And so I block my week ahead of time. So on Fridays, I block the week ahead. And then I edit it as I go so that it represents what I actually got done. Mm-hmm. So the weeks that I have really low energy, there's like big pockets in my schedule because I couldn't do anything. And the weeks where I have high energy, I have like made 8 videos and like recorded 3 podcast episodes and like got my whole to-do list done in an hour. Like I put literally what I did that day in the time slots. So I have a visual that I can go back and be like, oh, okay, it's been 3 weeks of kind of like big holes in my schedule. I know I'm coming up on a good week next week. And then you can start to see patterns in your day. So I know Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I have fully blocked my week usually. I get a lot done. Fridays, it's hit or miss. It's a hit or miss for me. Weekends, hit or miss. Mm-hmm. So I try to put all the things that I absolutely need to get done. I try to do it Mondays because I know I have the most energy. And then you can start to see, okay, morning, I get more done than afternoon. Evening, I'm useless. Evening, I am useless. Don't ask me to do a thing. But you can start to see trends too. Like, especially if you're someone who has some control over your to-do list, when you get things done, when you schedule meetings and things like that. I noticed that I started to gravitate towards all my meetings in the afternoon and all of my more creative projects in the morning. And so what I realized is I have much more creative energy first thing. And then that sort of dwindles off around noon. And then I have more like analytical, problem-solving, logistical energy. So I get more of the like administrative stuff done in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm. This was how I knew that you really did love and care for me is last week I had a really busy week and we needed to meet about something. And I asked you if we could do it after your 4 p.m. call. And you said, you are the only person I will meet with in the evening. Only because I love and care for you will I meet you in the evening.
It's true.
And I'm still riding that high.
It's true. It's true. I don't know what it is. I do know what it is. It's because I know I need boundaries around my time. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I will just work 24/7 because I love my job. Mm-hmm. But then I'll burn out and I'll hate my job. So I try really, really hard to stick to like normal business hours. But God, it is really hard because I do. Yeah. I work with people all over the world. So I'm like, oh, the only time you can meet is 7 p.m. on a Sunday.
And if you're listening to this and you're not someone who has a ton of control over your schedule, I don't want you to think that this is like useless to you, because I also think it's a really incredible tool purely from the aspect of giving yourself grace.
Yeah.
Like if you can know and understand that you're useless in the evenings, mm-hmm. when you do have things that come up in the evening that you don't have control on whether or not you do, there's a level of understanding and empathy that you can give yourself that, at least in my experience, does make me a little bit even more productive in those times, mm-hmm. because I'm not pushing myself to do things that I'm not capable of in that time frame.
Yeah. I also think that we have this tendency to put our best energy into work. And so if you are someone who doesn't love your job or you work for someone else, I think this could really help you shift like your wake up sleep schedule so that you have more time to yourself when you feel your best. Mm-hmm. Because I know for me, like I've always been that creative morning, like energy. I've always felt my best in the morning, even though I never considered myself a morning person. But when I worked for, you know, jobs that I hated, I would wake up right before I had to go to work. Work in the morning, and then I would come home and I would be exhausted. And that's partly because my job was tiring, but also partly because I don't have the energy in the evenings. And mm-hmm. I started waking up like just an hour earlier just to sit and drink coffee and be by myself and be, you know, a human having a life outside of work where I didn't feel completely depleted. And that totally changed my days.
Yeah, I think that even like as a concept on its own, of not starting your day based on when you go to work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm like really saying that right, but so it makes me think of when I would work evenings. Mm-hmm. Also, I think this is a squiggly brain thing because we talk about this.
Yeah.
If I worked at 3, genuinely, my day would start at 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
you're just buffering until then.
I'm buffering until then. And so decentering your workday as like instead of the beginning and end of your day, it is, albeit a big block, but it is a block.
Yeah.
In your schedule, and choosing things like wake up times based on what feels good rather than like how late can I get ready and still make it to work on time. That's yeah. something that I'm still working on because I am want to do that.
I mean, same. I just read Crescent City on the couch until 3 minutes before we had to record.
I was fully on FaceTime until 10:59 when so
beautiful, beautiful. Also, for everyone wanting a Crescent City update, I am totally leaving Madison in the dust.
I know. We have switched places. I am so bad at a reread.
I have like, read a full book so bad. In between. And I am 20% through book 2.
In my defense.
In your defense.
I've had a lot going on.
You have.
For new listeners, I run 2 businesses with my mom, and my mom is out of town. And so I am both her house sitter, her dog sitter, and her other half of the business sitter. So there's a lot happening.
No excuse. No excuse. No excuse.
I'm trying my best. I honestly might like watch a YouTube summary of the first Crescent City and
just get the audiobook.
Start the second one. I can't listen to a sexy audiobook. I don't know if that's because of my like delicate
sensibilities. It's not that sexy of a book.
I guess it's not really. It's just sexier in my head, I think.
Yeah.
I also can't remember what happens in which one.
Oh, okay. I'll give you a TLDR later.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anyway.
I don't want to be behind.
You are so behind. I was like, okay, I'm going to give you the weekend to catch up. I'm going to read a whole different book. Uh-huh. My truth is I'm just in my reading era. I am about to enter my breezy summer dresses era. So then I will be completely unrecognizable.
I can't wait.
Anyways. So again, cycles. You might find that in certain seasons, you are in more of a reading era. And in certain seasons, you're in more of a video game era. Certain seasons, you're more in a active outside era. And so I think part of the cool thing about this practice of working with your energy cycles is you can like really flow with them. Like right now, I am in a reading era. I love to read right now. Last year, I've read more books in the last 3 months than I have read in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like collectively, probably. And they're long, long, long books, like more pages than I've probably read in my entire life. I'm like whipping through 800 page books in like 4 days. It's bonk town. And that's just the era I'm in. That's the energy that I feel pulled towards, is just this quiet kind of like in their fiction books for the first time in my life. And I'm just flowing with that. I'm like, all right, I'm not going to force myself to read a nonfiction book right now. I'm not going to force myself to, you know, scroll on my phone all day like I used to. Like, I'm just going to be in this energy that I'm being pulled towards, and I'm just going to trust that that's what I need right now.
You know what's so funny? I'm realizing as you're talking about this that I am in my nonfiction era, and maybe that is why I'm struggling so hard to keep up with you.
Yep.
I've talked about this on the podcast before, where I treat most of my witchy books like reference books. Mm-hmm. And so it's rare that I will like read a book from cover to cover, mm-hmm. if it's more informational. And I listened to an entire book on the Morrigan in like 3 days in my drives to and from the shop. And I struggle so hard with history, and this is all history. And I was like living for it.
Weren't you a history major?
No, I was an English major. My ex-boyfriend was a history major.
Oh, that's awkward. I was like, there's something about you and history.
Uh-huh. There is. Years of it.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That was really funny. So anyways. I should start writing that down of what I feel pulled to read too. I think that's another interesting cycle and what that could mean, because I've really never experienced that before. Mm-hmm. And even like if you go through a cyclical reading slump, if you're mm-hmm. like a reading person, I know that's a universal experience. That is another great way to track your energy and what's going on.
Yeah. I think like if you're struggling to track your energy, or this idea of tracking your energy feels like foreign to you, pick something that you do often, like a hobby that you do often, and track based on that. So if you are like someone who knits and you went through like a big knitting phase and then you just kind of put it down, or there's certain times of the month where you just like can't get enough knitting, and certain times of the month where you're like, I don't even want to touch it, I can't focus long enough, or I can only knit like two rows at a time or whatever, versus the times where you could just knit all the night long. I think that's a beautiful way to track your energy cycle too.
I just had a great idea that I will never, ever implement. So I need somebody else to do it.
Tell me.
Okay. Have you ever heard of a temperature blanket,
but with your energy.
But with your energy. I want to be a crocheter so bad.
I can't.
It is an excellent act of meditation. I am the classic grown-up gifted kid that if I'm not perfect at it on my first try, I'll never, ever do it. And so I did start, not a temperature blanket. I tried to do it with like planets in 2023, like when the planets, what sign the planets were in or something. I actually can't even remember what I tried to do. It was very complicated. I also had never crocheted before.
Nice. Way to start.
I did like maybe one half of a granny square, and I was like, I'm ready for a blanket.
Yeah.
So if that tells you anything, mm-hmm. I fucked up one stitch and I quit.
Yeah.
I bought like, it truly like $150 worth of yarn sitting to my left right now.
Yep.
That goes untouched. So if you I need somebody to do an energy blanket.
Someone do an energy blanket, please.
I'm begging.
Begging you. Yeah, that is cool. I like that. I like that idea.
It's another way that makes it an active meditation. Mm-hmm. You sit and you do your one row.
I saw someone do a poop blanket where they categorize their poop as different yarn colors.
I also saw that.
Yeah, I was like, that's nice for the IBS girlies in the house.
Uh-huh. I was deep, deep in crochet TikTok for a very short period of time.
But whatever you want to track, however you want to track it, if it's, you know, journaling, if it's through your Google Calendar, if it's by looking at when your hobbies, you feel most invested in them versus not. I also look at it when, based on like how clean my house is, I know around the full moon, like right before the full moon, my house feels so cluttered, even if it's not, the energy just feels really cluttered. And mm-hmm. I just need to clear everything out. So I plan like a deep clean the weekend of the full moon or the weekend before the full moon. The new moon, I tend to impulse shop. I look at my Amazon account, my Amazon order history, and I tend to impulse shop around the new moon. And then the full moon, I feel really cluttered and I make all of my returns. It's so wild. There's so many different ways you can track this.
Thank God the lunar cycle falls within the 30-day return window.
I know. So now I have it set up like this weekend, I made all my returns.
That is really funny.
I know. And I didn't go check my P.O. box because I was like, I have mm-hmm. way too much cardboard in the back of my house. I need uh-huh. to get rid of this cardboard before I pick up any more packages.
Yep.
So you can start to plan like your everyday tasks, not just your work tasks, but your everyday tasks around that. So I know like we've talked about this before in our new moon and our full moon episode, but you can like plan different chores around the lunar cycle. Like I always wash my duvet and my shower curtain liner with the full moon because then it clears that cluttered energy out. And I never have to remember like, when's the last time I cleaned the duvet? When's the last time mm-hmm. I cleaned the shower curtain? Like it's just always the full moon.
Uh-huh. I love that. We've been talking about how you're going to come to my house when I move and just make all of my chore charts for me. I can't wait. I've been thinking about it every day since. It's going to be so good.
I can't wait until my book is out because I'm thinking about including a chore chart in there for like new moon, full moon.
That would be so good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's going to be like in one of the intro sections is like how to mm-hmm. build your chore chart around the lunar cycle. And then there'll be like pages where you can fill it out for yourself.
Oh, God. That is excellent.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, behind the scenes. This is also something that you can do with your ritual work. So if your spiritual practice is something that you want to bring focus and attention to, track what feels best when. When do you feel most spiritually connected? When do you feel like if you're doing your own tarot readings, when do you feel like they're the most accurate?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've noticed that in my own readings, like I feel so much more connected energetically and confident when I'm doing readings. I feel like almost more psychic, like early in the week, but afternoons, which is interesting. Uh-huh. Like I can't do them first thing in the morning.
Yeah. So if you're someone who does any kind of energy work or psychic readings as a job, that can be incredibly insightful to know, like, when are you the most psychic? And if you're struggling with how to figure out, like, what to do when, like, what do I do with this information? Okay, I know when I feel good. I know when I don't. Like, now what? This can be a great time to meditate and ask for guidance, like, from spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like,
go listen to our spirit guides episode.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you know, okay, my readings really, like, hit different at 4 p.m. on Tuesdays. Now I know, okay, what am I supposed to be doing when I feel spiritually connected or when I have the most energy or when I feel the most productive. Meditate on that. And also, I think it's really important to note and acknowledge that, like, it's okay to have some trial and error.
Oh, yeah. That's the fun of it.
Exactly. Like, have it's all fun information with it and figure it out. This is just like data mm-hmm. that you now get to have fun with and interpret and use however you want. There's really no right or wrong in how to work with it.
Yeah. And I think it's really powerful to start to see your fluctuations in energy as data because we are so quick to judge how we feel and judge when we don't feel 100% 24/7, 365. But when we start to take the emotion out of it and we just see it as a data point, we just see it as information, then we come into that energy of curiosity, which we know, you know, reminds your brain that you're not being chased by a tiger and then makes everything that much easier.
Mm-hmm. These are all just data points that you get to assign your own meaning to.
Yeah, or no meaning to, and just help you figure out how you can feel best moment by moment.
I love that.
Love it.
All right. I think we did it.
We did it. Let us know your questions. Go ahead, slide into our DMs or fill out the form in the show notes down below.
Yeah. And if this is something that you have already been doing, let us know how you did it, how you got there, and what cycles you notice in your own life, and what cycles you follow of, do you do it only by the seasons? Do you do it by the lunar cycle? What is your unit of measure? I'd love to know.
Tell us. Tell us, tell us. Until next time.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Demystify Magic with Molly and Madison. If you want to learn more about us, you can find all our links in the show notes.
We'd love to know what you think of today's episode. So drop us a review or give us a shout out on social media. And don't forget to let us know your magical moment of the week. Okay, love you.
Bye. Bye.